fingers are being pointed because lawmakers left town without approving a disaster relief bill. The deal breaker, additional hurricane recovery funds for Puerto Rico. Democrats blame Republicans for following President Trump's refusal to approve more money for that U.S. territory, even though it's still suffering from two huge hurricanes that slammed the island in 2017. Republicans blaming Democrats for introducing bills they know the president will veto, saying that's delaying help to Midwestern states that are recovering from this year's devastating floods.
President Trump says he's still considering moving illegal aliens to sanctuary cities. In a tweet today, the president accused Democrats of being unwilling to change their very dangerous immigration laws. The president also accused the radical left of favoring open borders. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
A new report out from Amazon says they employ thousands of full-time workers and contractors in the United States, Costa Rica, and Romania to listen to as many as 1,000.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Well, good afternoon. I was going to tell you that the prediction for this afternoon was all wrong. I'm Pat Smith's program, It's the Law, but I do want to talk about the weather. Actually, today was really very nice. Maybe it wasn't as hot as we might have wanted it to be. And, of course, now clouds are coming in. It's starting to rain. By tonight, we have a 60 to 100% showers. So when they say showers likely, I don't think so. But then there should be patchy fog. And then again, showers and patchy fog. Low only of about 56 degrees. So it should be warm tonight. By tomorrow, first of all, we start off the day 30% chance of showers and patchy fog. Then mostly cloudy, but it should clear up. By tomorrow night, mostly cloudy. Unfortunately, on Sunday, there is a 40 to 70% chance of showers, and then starting out 40% and then up to 70%, which means they're likely. Again, Sunday night, showers 90%, and into Monday, showers certainly in the morning, about 90% chance, and then 60% chance of showers likely on Monday. So, frankly, looks like pretty much of a washout, although tomorrow looks like absolutely the best day, even though it's going to be cloudy. High of near 69, 70 degrees. Could be some gusts, but still, should be good. And actually, I revise that as far as the temperature tomorrow, it could be a high near 75 degrees. So if that rain burns off and maybe the clouds go away, it should be a very nice day. So we're here. It's the Law. I will come back after I provide you with some information from our sponsors, and we'll be back and talk about what's happening this week in legal issues around the state.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Well, good afternoon. I'm Pat Smith. The program It's the Law. Today, it's kind of a potpourri of different things about cases, some observations, and one of my observations has to be that the Hunterdon County prosecutor, Tony Kearns, I think it's Tony Kearns III, has resigned his position and is going to be taking a position with the Catholic Diocese of Metuchen. I've known Tony for many years. He's been just an outstanding person in this community as far as programs. Certainly don't agree with Tony on all issues, but he has really tried to uncover some of the, you know, things that people used to try to cover up, i.e. the opiate crisis, some of the problems, although we don't have many major crimes such as murder. There certainly are things that have to be considered, one of which, and it's very difficult, is elder abuse. There was an excellent program put on this past, this week by Volunteer Guardianship One-on-One about elder abuse, and not only elder abuse, but economic abuse. In other words, there are a lot of scams out there. We heard from one of the detectives at the prosecutor's office. We also heard from a doctor, an attorney, a social worker, a couple social workers, one with adult services. And one of the real concerns, and I'm passing this along because I think it is certainly legally related, and a real concern is there may be people, neighbors, friends, people you know, not well, maybe you see them at church or other places, and, you know, it's very easy for them to be exploited by family members, older members in a family, very often also are, you know, victims of scams. I mean, there were some stories the other night that were really, you know, really surprising even to me, and I think I've heard a lot of these and unfortunately have been involved in some. But when if you ever see someone that you have concerns about, you know, call Adult Protective Services. And even if it's not a case that they can take, they often know a lot of good places to refer people. You're immune from any kind of prosecution when you're dealing with an agency like Adult Protective Services. So it's sometimes we do have to kind of get nosy about neighbors and other people that we see who we think might be exploited. And it's amazing sometimes what children do. There's some real horror stories, including a man who's in the hospital, has to stay in the hospital because someone stole all his money. And, of course, to be Medicare eligible, there is a 5-year look back. And if there's any kind of impropriety, Medicare demands a payback. And, of course, he doesn't have the money. And apparently, in that case, they can't figure out how to get the money from whoever really misappropriated it. And then trying to deal with Medicare to get around their rules. And it's not like this man gave the money away or that there's any way or anyone to pay it back. But what a tragedy that there are tens of thousands of dollars being spent to care for a man who should not be in the hospital. And, of course, you know, we all suffer from things like that. So What about cases? There was an approved for publication, a case. Before I do that, I also want to make a point. I happened to be in court today, and there were two parties, former husband, former wife, and the issue was college. And based on the circumstances, in other words, who was going to pay, whether one child, the son, should be entitled to continue in school because of his grades and certain other things that he did, and also whether the daughter should be able to go to a fairly expensive, very expensive private school. So what the judge did, based on all of the allegations back and forth, is he ordered a plenary hearing, as he needed to do. So let me back up 1 minute and explain that in New Jersey, one of the few states, but in New Jersey, parents can be required to pay for their children's college educations. There's a case, Newberg versus Arrigo, very old case, that talks about all the factors that the judges have to consider. But my thought about this was the unfortunate thing when anyone is a plenary hearing is ordered, the cost of the plenary hearing. One of the things that I don't like to do is get involved in motions dealing with college, because in my experience, it can cost as much to fight this out as the cost of 1 year of college. And that probably is what's going to happen in this case. And the children are going to get involved. In this particular case, it's apparent that the children are going to get involved. And there's just not going to be a good result, because no matter what happens, in addition to college, and the probability is that one parent is not going to win, that they're both going to lose on something. And so that is my legal advice, free legal advice to everyone, since I'm not your attorney, is that this should be worked out. And if you're going through divorce, there should be language in your marital settlement agreement, your property settlement agreement, that spells out what you are agreeing to do. And I know people with very young children don't even think about it. There are some times where people with even teenagers don't want to deal with it. But if you put together a specific enough agreement, then that's a contract. And barring some really unusual circumstances, people will be held to the contract. And one of the things I also like to put in agreements is if money after a divorce, if somebody's parents provide money, or if one of the parents saves money for college, that will not offset both parties' burden, but just the person who's contributing or whose family contributes. Now, someone might say, but that's not fair. Maybe one spouse's family has a lot of money. Well, yes, but the problem is, if you don't put language and put the correct language in the agreement, they're not going to give it to their grandchildren, and there's no incentive for a parent to save. In other words, what we should want is an incentive for parents to save for their children's educations. Not necessarily college, but any kind of trade school, any type of post-high school education. And I also try to get into an agreement that the parties will agree that the child can take some time off from school, and maybe the child support doesn't continue during that time, but their obligation for college continues. And one of the issues today in this particular case that I was waiting for my turn, so I was sitting behind, is apparently the son who's not been doing well, and there's no question some of this is absolutely his blame, but he has to be blamed for it. You know, one of the kids who, you know, goes off and thinks he can party. But there's another issue here, and that is he sounds as if he has a learning disability. So what and how does that factor in so that perhaps there should be a recognition that there are certain classes that he's not going to do well in, but he may have to take these classes. So there might have to be some recognition by the parents that this young man is not going to be a stellar student. But since they agreed that he should go to college, you know, they need to take that into consideration. So anyway, that was my little result of being in court, and I won't even tell you my case, which is really complex and horrendous and, you know, in any event. So what did we do? The approved for publication. That is Correa versus Grossi, and it is a Judge Reisner. Actually, she was in my law school with me. She's in the appellate division, and she wrote the opinion, and it was an opinion actually from, I don't know, either April 10th or April 8th. So in this case, the plaintiffs appealed from the denial of their order to show cause, and that is an order to show cause is an emergent order, and they sought a ruling requiring machine and mail-in general election ballots in Dover, New Jersey, to be printed in both English and Spanish. And they did that because they said at least 10% of the registered voters in Dover, so that Dover's a community in Morris County, they said that at least 10% of the registered voters in Dover spoke Spanish as a primary language. And the election law expressly required sample ballots to be printed in both English and Spanish. Okay, interesting, because people will say, well, why should that happen? I'm not going to discuss the policy, but what I don't want people to say is, oh, well, here are all these undocumented people who are registering to vote. No, these are people who are citizens. They're citizens of the United States and of New Jersey, and they've registered to vote. So let's get past that. And if anyone has that prejudice, you know, I just feel sorry for you because it's ridiculous. So in any event, because at least 10% of the registered voters in Dover spoke Spanish as a primary language, the election law, so now this is the election law, expressly required sample ballots to be printed in both English and Spanish. So the plaintiffs argued that this requirement implied and implicitly extended to official machine and mail-in ballots as well. So the trial court in this case must have been Morris County, denied the plaintiff's application for an injunction. And the trial court noted that the legislature expressly required in the election law that sample ballots be printed in English and Spanish for a voting district where at least 10% of the registered voters spoke Spanish as a primary language. Now, I assume that this is one of the reasons where there are certain questions asked on the census so that they can make that determination, because otherwise it would probably mostly be by guess. So if you're not self-identified as speaking one language or another primarily, how's anyone going to find out? Or I should say they can find out, but how could they easily find out? So the trial court in this case ruled that if the legislature intended to extend this requirement, meaning the requirement right now is just ballots have to be in Spanish and English. So now does that mean that this requirement should be extended to official, in other words, to the official machine. When you walk in the machine, that's all in English. Your mail-in ballots in English. So the plaintiffs argued that it could easily have done so. And on appeal, the plaintiffs argued that the fax facsimile, you know, when we send a fax, of the election law required the bilingual requirement for sample ballots to be extended to official machine and mail-in ballots. Now, the appellate court noted that plaintiff's complaint had been rendered moot as the election. The plaintiff, Edward Correa, was a candidate, and now he was a candidate in the election, but the election was all over, so they said it was basically moot. However, because the complaint raised a matter of significant public importance, and that was an issue. This was significant public importance. The court decided to rule on the merits of the case. So ordinarily, you know, if it's moot, meaning that winning isn't going to help you, the case will be decided by summary judgment. So the court agreed in this case with the plaintiff's argument and reversed the decision of the trial court. And the appellate division found the bilingual agreement, bilingual requirement provisions of the election law to be ambiguous. And so since they were ambiguous, they could be construed in favor of the legislatively expressed policy interest to protect Spanish-speaking voters from disenfranchisement. So the court held that it would be absurd to give Spanish-speaking voters a Spanish-language ballot only to present them with an English ballot. So that significant case, obviously. Well, before, I think what I'm going to do now is play some spots from our sponsors, since they're the ones that keep us on air.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today. at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Hey, we're back. Tired of hearing about foreclosure cases? Well, I have another one, but this is a little different. Actually, this is a creditors and debtors' rights case. Same thing, basically. Wells Fargo Bank versus Young. And this was a someone who bid on a house. So this third-party bidder appealed the order vacating a share sale and withholding deposit money. And what happened here is the defendant executed a note and mortgage in 2007, okay, defaulted in 2012, and a final judgment of foreclosure was entered in 2015. And so what happened is the third-party bidder purchased the property at a share sale, and that was in 2016. Then in 2017, the parties consented to vacating the sale based on the discovery of a prior 2003 mortgage on the property. Now, this mortgage obviously had not been disclosed. So a second share sale was held in March 2017, and the bidder, must be according to the case, the same bidder, was again successful and deposited $10,000. And that was the requirement. In August 2017, so now from March until August, you know, apparently nothing much happened, although there might have been a lot of things happening as far as negotiations. But in any event, the bidder filed to vacate the sale, alleging the actual amount due on the prior mortgage was considerably more than stated. Okay, so remember, at a share sale, the bidder takes the property subject to the mortgage. So if the house has a $100,000 mortgage on it, the bidder, whatever the bidder bids, he or she also has to, assume that mortgage. Or, you know, not assume, but that mortgage is still on the property. So what this third-party bidder said, that the prior mortgage was considerably more than stated in the advertisement for the second share of sale. So the motion judge, this is a trial judge, found that the bidder was not entitled to vacate the sale once it was aware of the prior mortgage, but then did vacate the sale because the bidder failed to pay the full purchase price, and the judge ordered the deposit held as a result of that. So the bidder argued the bank did not comply with the requirements of the statute in this case. The court noted that the actual prior mortgage amount was approximately 22% more than the advertised amount. So that was obviously significant, and that the advertised amount did not constitute the appropriate amount. So the what happened here is this was the appellate division was unable to determine on the record. So you had to have a record, meaning transcript from what went on below. And in this case, they determined that the record, on the record, the court was unable on the record to determine if the motion judge abused her discretion in denying the return of the deposit. So that was the issue here. Was this $10,000 coming back? And the question was, they had to intricately look at all the circumstances, and in this case, there was a question of whether or not the actual trial judge abused discretion. So there's another case. There was an appellant appealed, and this was a decision by the Board of Review. This is an administrative court, employment litigation, employment benefits, but administrative court. And frankly, I've never been in the administrative court, so actually maybe I was once, many, many, many years ago, when I was representing someone who really had been indicted under the statute. Wow. Something just, forget that. There was a little interruption here. So in any event, in this case, the court was unable on the record to determine if the motion judge abused her discretion in denying return of the deposit. So that means that they have to go back to the trial court and probably provide their proofs if whatever the plaintiff had wasn't sufficient to make that determination. So there was another, this is not published, but it was a employment benefits administrative law case. I think everybody understands that there are there's more than one court system in New Jersey. At the trial level, we have the trial court, and then one step up, they may want to say it's more than one state up. But in any event, on appeal from the family court here in Hunterdon County, it goes up on appeal, and the question is whether or not what is being appealed. Okay, so that's probably going to determine whether or not there's any chance that the case goes back to the same trial judge who heard it. So let me bring you a couple of notes from our sponsors, and then we'll be back with some other legal news.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental. NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Okay, we're back. You want to talk about an old case? Let's talk about an old case. What's happened is a 30-year-old asbestos claims against ship owners. The case was reinstated by the Third Circuit. So I don't have much information other than the U.S. Court of Appeals. That's what we're in the Third Circuit. There are trial courts, and then there are, well, there are trial courts in the state courts, there are trial courts in the federal. We're talking about federal here. So nope, I don't think I have anything more on that other than there was a split decision in that case. Not a lot of cases published this week, although, you know, as I've said many times before, sometimes the unpublished cases are, you know, the most interesting, and we wonder why in the world they were not selected. Now, there was a case, I'm not sure I have any more information other than the blurb. This was a case where an appellate court reinstated a breach of contract suit after finding that a sanction imposed for discovery violations was overly drastic and unevenly applied. So that, you know, if you're interested in the law, you know, you can't just take the first person's decision. You know, you have to really look into it. Well, there's another, I'm just kind of looking to see what would be most interesting. Frankly, I don't see anything here that would be compelling. Well, I know we're not supposed to have dead air, but I was trying to find something in this particular case to share with you. So since I can't find anything right now, I'm going to take the easy way out and actually have our sponsors entertain you for a couple minutes.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay, we're back, and I'm back. I'm Pat Smith, talking a little bit about some cases that were published. It's a criminal law case, and sometimes you wonder why unpublished cases are not published, and vice versa. But this one is published. It's McGants, U.S. versus McGants. It's a Third Circuit, so this is a federal case. And in this case, the defendant appealed his conviction and judgment of sentence. Defendant was arrested after the police were dispatched after, you know, and they were dispatched in response to a 911 call reporting that a man with dreads who wore a red hat was assaulting women and also... Okay, so let's see what happened in that case. As I said, he was defendant was arrested after police were dispatched to in response to a 911 call, and the call was reporting that a man with dreads and a red hat was assaulting a woman and also was armed with a gun. So that's how the call came in. So the officers observed a man matching the description, and later, identified six of. So, what happened after that? Well, so anyway, this officers observed a man matching the 911 description. Later, give a. And in this case, I'm sorry, I'm really having a trouble following this case. So the police engaged the defendant, frisked him due to the nature of the dispatch. In other words, based on what the dispatcher told them, the officers arrested this man, according to the caller, the man with red hair and dreads was assaulting the woman and was not, you know, allowing her to speak. So officers subsequently observed a man matching the 911 description and later identified this man as the defendant who was walking down his... when I say walking down, proceeding, if you will, and he was proceeding with another dog. So the police finally engaged the defendant and frisked him due to the nature of the dispatch, and they actually found this little pot, an urn. But in any event, so the police, you know, engaged the defendant, frisked him, and then to rationalize the I'm having a hard time following some of these today. I'm sorry. So let's come back to that another time. So we have a commitment, but I had indicated that this is not approved for publication. Peterman versus Rico. So there's a health care matter of the commitment of JM. So that could be of interest to people who are dealing with elderly. So the court consolidated two appeals in involuntary civil commitment proceedings because the in the matter of the commitment of JM, this was two appeals, and they consolidated them in an involuntary civil commitment proceeding because the court had no knowledge of the cost of all of this. But in any event, they decided, they consolidated the two appeals, and then they had an involuntary civil commitment proceedings because that was decided by the same judge who provided the opinion. Sorry, I'm taking a break here to just try to see if I can't find something else. I know it's only a few more minutes, and I'm really running out of steam. None of these other cases, they may be interesting to you, but they're more than... Okay. Well, there was a fourth law firm has obtained, has objected to its share of common benefit fees in the transvaginal mesh litigation. So Thrusting, this is what Thrusting Moore attorneys. So we're also...
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
All right. If anybody has ever engaged in any negotiations for a contract dealing with issues with respect to their house, time to listen. This is Salazar versus MKGC Plus Design, and it's an appellate division case. It's approved for publication, and in this case, the plaintiffs, the Salazars, appealed the dismissal of their action alleging breach of a home improvement contract and consumer fraud. So we have, home improvement, there's some breakdown in the contract, and the plaintiffs in this case appealed from a dismissal of their action. So they were actually the ones, the plaintiffs, who brought the lawsuit. So then what happened? The trial court granted the defendant's motion for involuntary dismissal after concluding that the plaintiffs could not prove the damages. Then another trial judge had previously granted the defendant's pretrial motion to bar plaintiffs during their damage claim as a sanction for failing to respond to production of documents. However, the trial court granted the sanction even though the defendant's motion for sanctions violated multiple court rulings. So that was the issue. At least at this point, that was the issue with respect to consumer fraud. And I think we're just about out of time. I hope so, because we'll be back in a couple minutes with the sports guys. And we have a sports guy who's joining me, looking very spiffy today. John will join me as soon as we finish playing the news.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump responded to reports Friday that his administration proposed on releasing immigrant detainees in sanctuary cities, but not confirming parts of the plan, but only said it remains under strong consideration. Democratic Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi was asked about this possible plan by Trump.
I don't know anything about it, but again, it's just another notion that is unworthy of the presidency of the United States and disrespectful of the challenges that we face as a country, as a people, to address who we are, a nation of immigrants.
Meanwhile, today at the White House, President Trump is talking about expanding rural broadband internet access and our 5G networks.
5G networks will also create astonishing and really thrilling new opportunities for our people, opportunities that we've never even thought we had a possibility of looking at.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, health care, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your health care. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year. A month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. 855-90-PSALM.
As we begin phase two of the college admissions cheating scandal, many of the schools involved are trying to figure out how much the high school students who were involved and actually got into the schools that they were not supposed to possibly were involved in this whole thing. As that investigation goes on, Dirty Jobs host Mike Rowe reminds us of one thing.
Ethics have nothing to do with money, right? I mean, you can be dishonest and you can have your thumb on the scale regardless of your tax bracket. So on the one hand, yeah, it's outrageous what happened. But it's also outrageous that the cost of college has increased faster than the cost of health care, real estate, food, energy.
$70,000 in some colleges.
My four-year degree, which I got from a liberal arts school in 1984, all in, with 2 years of community college before, it cost $11,000.
One person died in Colorado from the spring blizzard that affected 200 million Americans. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Available on Amazon.
I had a chance to sit down and chat with sports columnist Wright Thompson. Now, he's author of a new book titled The Cost of These Dreams. And one of the things I brought up with him was Tiger's fall from grace and then how the fans have flocked back to following and being fans of Tiger Woods.
What's interesting to me, I mean, this is a theme, not just in the Tiger Woods story in the book, but in all of The Cost of These Dreams, that we see things in these athletes that we are dealing with ourselves. They are, in many times, proxies. So the way my dad felt watching Jack Nicklaus defy time and age and decay and decline in 1986 is the way that people my age would feel if they saw Tiger Woods win, because it is much more interesting and inspiring to see someone who was once invincible struggle than it is to see the invincible person be invincible. And so Tiger's fall and his refusal to just exit the stage is, I think for many people, gives them hope that maybe their best days aren't behind them and that maybe it can be your choice and that maybe you can stand back up again when you get knocked down.
And finally, former Obama White House counsel Greg Craig is pleading not guilty for lying to federal authorities about his work for the Ukrainian government. Craig says he was working as a corporate lawyer for a private firm, and he was released on his own recognizance after entering his plea in Washington, D.C. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hi, guys. We'll be back with the sports guys as soon as...
And we have a big show today, Pat.
Well, here, let me put you on then to say we have a big show today because you were not.
A very big show.
Okay.
Paraphrase an old entertainer from Sunday night many moons ago.
And guess what? We're probably about 2 minutes early, so I don't even know. I guess you should be hearing us.
I'm going to ruin my reputation, Pat, 2 minutes early. Come on.
Actually, well, you are. I think this is the first time that you've ever been early for almost anything.
Yeah, this may be one or two things, but you're probably right about that.
Okay.
But this is the Sports Guys from the studios of the Hunter County Chamber of Commerce located in Flemington, New Jersey, and broadcast live over the Internet. It's the Sports Guys.
And John should have been here earlier because I've had very little sleep and I've had a hard time staying awake on my boring law show. But in any event, John...
Ladies and gentlemen, Pat was in court all day defending the honor and integrity of clients. And Pat, you got a great result, you did a great job.
Well,
and yes, you look like you need to sleep for about 2 days.
I do, but I have depositions all day tomorrow and Sunday. So in any event, what about the weather?
People are saying it's a shock that I'm here early. I mean, this is amazing. I feel like Rodney Dangerfield. I don't get any respect.
Well,
right, Pat,
what was the weather like when you were coming in? Because earlier was nice.
With an umbrella on, it's actually starting to rain.
Okay, well, then earlier today, this morning when I left, was very cool, to say the very least. It was cold. Then it started warming up. And as I started coming down before 4 o'clock, it was starting to sprinkle and looked very ominous. But today was supposed to be cloudy. Actually, it was nice this morning, then cloudy this afternoon. Tonight, we have a 60% chance of showers, likely, and then up to 100%. So it looks like
it's going to rain tomorrow.
Well, it's 100% tonight, and then about 30% in the morning, then patchy fog, and mostly cloudy, but tomorrow afternoon is probably the best day for not only the weekend, but also into Monday, because Sunday, 40 to 70% chance of showers, early 40%. Then about showers are likely into Sunday night, 90% chance of showers. Into Monday, 90% showers in the morning, then maybe tapering off some. But this is really going to be a washout weekend. And, of course, just so I can remind John, I almost didn't, folks, because would it be fun if he came next Friday and actually came to the program on time and realized that it's the last Friday that he has to not eat meat, and that's the one day he doesn't have to be here on time, because the chamber is closed, no show.
Yeah. Well, theoretically, next Friday I will be in church, and it is Holy Week, and we will, but you're right, the last day of no meat, including tonight, Pat, so if we go grab a bite, we have to go somewhere where I can't eat meat. But having said that, we're hoping for Bill Wolfson to show up in tow with great lines and great stories.
He's going to have a heart attack if he comes in a few minutes after 5, which it now
he's
is.
Gonna live it down.
He will not live it down. But in any event, so I may actually have to be leaving a little early. I have a client who had to fly in for depositions tomorrow. So I'm going to leave the two of you to square off. But what's the first thing you want to talk about sports-wise?
Actually, today, you know, many of our listeners, I think, enjoy the fact that what we do for a living is interesting some of the time, and they like